Welcome to The Way Freedom Flies. I'm Anthony, and I hope that you've all had a great and blessed week. We still had a little bit of the talk about TikTok ban, and that's kind of sort of sitting there. I really don't see the need for all of this. I think that if you are going to do something, let's see how serious you are. Are you going to stop all the data collection by all these other companies that are being used all the time? I think that's a more prevalent thing. We should require opt-ins for stuff, not opt-outs for things. There, why don't you go and say, you can't have, Chinese nationals owning property around military bases, owning a majority of farmland. No, that's United States only areas, right, of those things. If you want to own something, you can have a vacation home over here. Unless it's, stock in a public company or whatever else. Maybe there's a public company that wants to get into some of that stuff. But it is, having just singling out TikTok and all this other stuff and writing a law where people are saying, you look at the law, it can only do this. And I will point you to the Patriot Act of where that was, too, and remind you, for all of you that probably said the exact same thing for the Patriot Act, that look at how that has infringed on our lives since then. And the government's supposed to be small and limited, not growing and controlling. So let's just keep that in mind, and let's be able to get in the right framework of where we're at, so that we can continue to move down on the right path of removing the bad and restoring the good of what the government is supposed to be, which is very limited, right? Very, very limited. So, we have today, or had this week, so much different stuff happening. And the one thing that was happening is Trump's comments over the weekend, which caused the media to explode. Figuratively, not literally, even though it seems that way with how much that has gone to their head over one single word. They can use this word unlimited times in whatever context they want, but if Trump decides to use the word correctly as an economic disaster, he gets crushed for it for some odd reason, which I think only really made him stronger. And that word is bloodbath. I don't know what you guys think, but saying that if you're not going to protect the, auto industry of having the tariffs and everything else, there would be a bloodbath of, in an economic standpoint here in the United States. Yes, that is very true. The Ross Perot was saying that there was a sucking sound with NAFTA when NAFTA happened. And that is absolutely true. It is a sucking sound of craziness of all the job loss and everything else that has gone out. And the globalists want a cheaper product. They want to have that option to continue to move in that direction because they want their profits. It is for Wall Street. Wall Street wants to suck the living life out of every population and put the money into their pockets. What these other countries don't realize that, let's say Mexico or China, as their wages will inevitably want to go up, the people want higher wages, want more mobility, what these multinational organizations want is a lower price product. So they will move that to a different area, right? People always say the cost of moving something is very expensive. Actually, the cost of moving something is very, is initially expensive. It's an investment. However, that cost of moving it, they plan on having a return, which means it's very cheap. And so moving something around, because you have a tariff for everything else, to move and to make a country an equal playing field and to make a company move back, is to that company, they're going to be squawking because now they have to support multiple things. But if you put the tariff in to equalize the playing field, which is what tariffs are kind of being or should be used for, right? You want to have an economic strong country. And if somebody's going to come in and cut off your legs, you probably want to make sure that you protect that side of it so that you have an economic strong base in your own country. And I advocate that every country should have some sort of base. Companies don't want that. Why don't companies want that? Because now they have to have an economic or a hub in each country, or let's say a state was requiring certain things, each state or wherever else, so that they have a base so that they don't get charged with the tariff, so they can save money on that side of things. So their economics of, you know, putting money into their own pocket is diminished because you have to have this. But I like it because then it's a diversity standpoint from a, if you have an issue, let's say a scandemic that happens, which shut down everything and everything, everybody says we have processes that are sitting there. This is a area where your supply chain is all messed up. This is where you can mitigate that because in different areas you have different supplying and you might have to incur a tariff because one area is open, one area is producing more, etc. But at least you still have that product out. The just-in-time scenario is not working. And with Trump saying this blood bath, getting back to that, and everyone jumping on it and saying this is not... this is such a horrible thing. He said all these things that he never said, is just proving to us, and it's just showing that more and more people are moving away from the mainstream media, right? The mainstream media is trying to excite and trying to say outlandish things, right? It's like the person who cried wolf, and that the first time, right, everyone came, but as it went on, no one's coming because guess what? No one's believing you. Well, in order to combat that, what is the next thing you have to do? Is a more outlandish lie, more outlandish things to get somebody more interested in you. And this is where the media is going towards. It is doing more outlandish stuff. It is growing at an exponential rate in their enhancement of what actually happened. And this is a really interesting aspect to, I think, the way of where the media is going to die. And that, to me, is the inevitable at this point, unless, and I want to say this, they decided to start reporting on the truth. Granted, it's going to take them a long time to repair their, the people on viewing it, but they would start being able to move in the direction of people actually going back to them and at least saying, okay, this listens to it. But because they are on the side of an illegals, something happened in Chicago and it was a conundrum for, streetwalker and a illegal, and something happened there, and the media is trying to side. Everyone's joking, which way is the media going to side on? Right? Because the illegal is here illegally. They already broke the law. Any other law they break is illegal. And so they've already that's a double break of the law, right? There's two laws, so they should just be going and be shipped right back across the border. Texas, the Supreme Court one day said that Texas couldn't do this, and then all of a sudden the next day they said, yeah, they could arrest people that are in Texas that cross the border illegally, you know. And maybe this is where we need to go, where each state is going to have to employ the National Guard, and we're going to have to clean up the mess and do mass deportations. We need to initiate a stance that our border means something. If you don't have a border, you don't have a country. What use is government if you're not going to have a border? There is no government. You can't tell me that the government is doing something for the people or is a value or is even important if you don't have a border. Because what are they in charge of? Nothing. There, if you don't have a strong border, there is nothing there you are protecting. So why, or there's nothing there that is there to be governable. So if you have nothing that can be governed, how can there be a government? If you break it out that way, right, it's not there. So any leftist or whoever else that says, there's no border, there's none of this stuff, you kind of got to tap them on the shoulder and say, well, then why do you care? Then I guess there's no laws to follow because there's no government. There's nothing to govern. And then you get into the thing of they're trying to grasp at straws, right? You just broke it down in a different way and they cause a hissy fit. You know, the stuff we love to see from them is the hissy fits. We love to enjoy that part of it. But, you know, you have this, you know, whole thing with Texas being able to take. Now, I will say this, right? Texas governor is in an election year. Who knows where this all goes? But I like to see where the Texas governor and government there is serious about this, serious about cleaning up the mess that we already have. Right? If they're serious about stopping illegal immigration, maybe this is what they're going to do and they're going to jump on board. This could be a great thing. This could be a great development for everybody and for showing what the states need to do and how to do it. And I think that no matter if you're a border state or not, this is a crucial side to things. This is a crucial development for what needs to be done and how to start correcting things. Now, I was listening to some prophetic words last night from Amanda Grace. She does some great work over there as well. And just trying to go through, and I encourage you to listen to her because I'm just going to summarize things and not get into too much detail, but because I think that you should go and support her as well because she does a great job, and God's given her the prophetic words, not me, so don't come looking to me for them, you know, actually go to the source. But what I wanted to get into here is how in times of craziness, in times of uncertainty, God is there and he is there for us and we should be looking for him for the solutions. And sometimes I think we know everything and we don't need to look and do certain things, which we're all human. We all have some of those tendencies, I think, but it is in us that we should also then look towards what God has and what God is telling us instead of ignoring him and going on our own earthly way. There is tendencies we do have, but if we're looking back and looking, okay, God, you're calling us to clean up this mess or try to change the government, trying to get godly things, trying to have a revival, trying to, you know, put God back into the culture and into our communities and put that back as a foundation. How do we do that? How do we go about it? What changes do we have to help be the foundation of your kingdom here on earth so that we can put forth the effort of showing others of who you truly are? Because a lot of people do have a bad taste in their mouth of religion, of what religion can do. They've been burned or whatever else, whatever it is. But when we're talking about being a conduit, being able to bring people to Jesus, how do we do that and how do we accomplish it? Well, One way is to look inward of what God has called us to do, but also be asking God for wisdom and courage and the ability to understand of what he's telling us to do, of how to be that foundation. Because I believe as Christ believers that God is calling us and God has set us up because he also is going to be using us. And when he uses us, we have the ability to show other people of God's love, of God's grace, of what he's capable of and what he wants for all of us, to bring them back into the fold of, you know, Christianity and of what God wants his children back to him, right? If you have kids, you want your kids back, you know, underneath your, you know, roof. You want to have, even if they've, you know, gone off, gotten married, whatever else, you still welcome them back with open arms and, you know, kind of follow them and everything else as they are, you know, out there growing, you know, being adults, having children, everything else. You still have your arms, you know, or looking over them to, you know, as they ask you questions, still guide them and still, you know, nudge them in certain ways. Well, our Heavenly Father does the same thing for us, and he should do those same things for us, right? He's a father. He wants those things. So as he's trying to bring other children back to him, remember, he may use another child to be able to show them what it is that he is capable of and what his true foundations are. And I think that that's one thing we've missed a lot throughout our time, you know, talking about politics or everything else, is we miss the fact that a lot of times we think we can solve everything, and we miss where God should be involved and where God needs to be involved and what his rules are is maybe something that we should be following and something that we have to keep track of so that we can do, so we can carry out what our Heavenly Father has called us to do. And so with all that, right, I've been going through Exodus right now. I'm reading the Bible. I guess I'm going to go through four different books. I have, according to this Bible plan that I'm following, there's four different sections that you go through each day. And so I'm going through Exodus, right, with Moses, and going through all the rules of all the laws. And I wouldn't mind if we kind of went back and brought back in those laws, right? We have the Ten Commandments, and well, I hope most people understand the Ten Commandments and know where that's going, but I feel like that's being eroded, that's being taken out of everywhere. And look at what's happening to this society, right? And everyone can blame it on culture, but we as Christ followers should not just blame it on culture. We should be the culture. Now, we should be teaching and bringing up everybody and being a foundation for where people look, being that rock, being that force, godly force, to show here is what God believes, and culture isn't going to erode us. We are going to create and be the culture and be the stability in the society. I was listening to somebody today, and they were talking about how culture can be a scapegoat. Culture can be a thing used to show people of, or to be an excuse for people to say, this is why I did something. And while when we bring back in culture and when we be culture, when we are a Christ following culture, that can be a good thing, because then people are swallowed up in it. We cannot ourselves, or we should not ourselves then go and say, the culture made me do it, right? This is why I did something, because the culture has normalized it. And I feel like that sometimes happens a lot more with just non-believers, non-believers is probably the best way to put it. They just go through in society, right? The societal pressures of what's being put out there, TikTok, Instagram, Facebook, X, Twitter, whatever you want to call it. Those types of things are, and peer pressure, those things made me do something. When in reality, if we are grounded and in something, we are going to let the culture norms or forces that somebody may use an excuse as a way to, it's just going to go around us, right? We are stable in our foundation, in our belief. And if we can do that, and if we can have those things for in there so that we are the, you know, foundations of our, you know, our home, our church, our neighborhood, our, you know, society, then the culture will start shifting in a way that maybe those external pressures are good to people that think that the culture is something. Now, I do not think that the culture is the pressure around people that makes them do things, right? That's not really kind of how this works. You still, right, in the Bible and stuff, it talks about, you know, own free will. Well, God, you know, can say, and tell you, hey, I want you to do this. I'd like you to do this, that, and next thing. You may not believe it or may not follow it, but that was your own choosing. That was your choice. I think that we all have choices that we're able to make, and it is something I hope that we make is, or the choice we make, I hope, is something that we actually do. We do not then go around and say it was a force, it was the culture forcing us to do this. I think that if we go down that road, we're going to have a issue of people asking, why are you then believing Jesus? Why do you believe in God if it's just the forces around you do something and you know, God isn't telling you, and you're not grounded in a foundation, then what does your faith do for you? And so hopefully that made a little sense here of me going on of kind of what I'm seeing here with the media and everything else, you know, with the Trump's bloodbath comments and with government, because how this ties in, and hopefully you've been following me long enough to understand this, is that when you elect a politician or anybody, right, you're going based off of what, you know, they've kind of done in the past, kind of said that they're willing to do. And when they get in, what do we notice is that what they've said or what they want to do is maybe not aligned to it after a little bit, and they're willing to vote on selling your privacy right, going against the Constitution, selling all your privacy rights, going against, you know, I wanted to reduce the budget. How long have we seen this? We're going to reduce spending. And look what happens. They have these 6 budget bills and everything to kind of keep the government open. And guess what? They're spending more. Debt keeps going up. So we can balance it in 5 to 10 years. What is it? Lion Ryan was doing that for a long time when he was the Speaker of the House. We can do this. We can do that. Well, what is happening now is that you're not standing in your foundation. You're willing to go wherever the quote unquote here is the government culture is pushing you, which is pushing you to spend more, which pushing you to do this, that, and the next thing. So it makes it hard for people to do, and especially Christians and stuff, to be like, well, where do you stand on this? You said that you were a Christian. You said that you wanted to do this. You said that you wanted to be cut spending and everything else. And where is your conviction? Where is your stance on these items? If you're just going to go and throw it all the way, whenever somebody says you have to do this or that, and you can't make your own decisions. You don't have time to read through something. And instead of voting, you know, voting against it because you didn't have time on it, and you're requiring that you have time to read every bill that you're going to vote on so you can make an educated, best decision for your constituents that you represent, where are you? You lost all credibility. You lost all your faith. You lost all what you said that you built up on. And to me, that's where, if you have a foundation in God that you're looking back to and you're being grounded in and trying to stay out of the humility of I know better than anybody else, guess what? Then you have a chance. We have a fighting chance to start changing things at a rate that we've never seen. Because everyone too is, we've changed this long and nothing can ever be changed. Nothing new is underneath the sun, right? That's in Isaiah, I want to say, if I recall correctly. Well, if nothing's new underneath the sun, we've been here before. I just went through and I was reading through the 10 plagues, right? And with Moses. And guess what happened? It's kind of incredible. Instantly, they were able to go across the Red Sea. And then instantly, it collapsed. God can turn it around very quickly. And so, hopefully, on this being able to turn it around, on being able to go through and search for what God has called us for, this is going to enable us to do a lot more things, us to be able to correct more things more quickly. And I think God wants us to do this. I don't think God wants his people to suffer. Can we please not wander for 40 years in a desert? I think that, you know, there's nothing new underneath the sun. And I think sometimes we don't think God is as powerful as he actually is. God is as capable. Your father is as capable as he actually is. And we're willing to wander and not look at what God has given us, what God has for us, what God has instilled in us, and what we're capable of, along with him, to be able to change things. And so if we can just get over that, if we can just look towards him, I think that we're going to have a lot more success. And a lot more people, putting God back into the government is a crucial thing. Government should not be in God, but God is needed in government. And I hope that we can see that. And in fact, we're talking about politics a lot on this podcast, you know, freedom flying in the right direction, right? But one thing that we have to continue, and one thing I work a lot in my life, is to have God inside of every part of my life and in every area, right? Putting God into politics, putting God into my finances, putting God into my life, putting God into my family, and making sure that he is the foundation. He is the one that we look up to for the guidance that we need. With that, I want to say thank you so much for listening to The Way Freedom Flies. We should have another fun week, as we always do. I love it. God is good, right? God is great. It's the glory times, not the gloomy times, as Pastor Emmanuel says out there in California. I think that he has a great mission going on there too, prophetic words. But with that, thank you so much. Thank you for listening. I'm praying for everybody out there. And until next time, God bless.